In a world saturated with podcasts, Two Brothers, One Bible stands out as an intriguing addition to the audio landscape.
Ooh, that was good.
What do you think about that?
That's good.
I don't have any idea what that means.
No.
Welcome to Two Brothers, One Bible podcast.
We are so grateful that you joined us today.
And we are back with another episode of Two Brothers, One Bible podcast. I'm Robert Wakefield.
I'm Peter Searson.
And we left off our last podcast discussing 1 John.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we're going to go. But first of all, tell me how things are in your world. How are things going with you?
My world's good.
Is it?
Yeah. Life's good. Cheryl and I came back from a pastor's conference recently.
Right. How'd that go?
Really enjoyed it. Just some time for someone else to do the preaching, mm-hmm. and to hear what they have to say. And I was talking with the guy in front of me. He turned around after the conclusion of one of the sessions, and he said, that was good. I'm going to have to stop doing what the person was talking about. And I said, we go to these things, and really all we want is one nugget, mm-hmm. one word that we can take back that just says, man, that one thing was worth it all. And we got many things
coming back.
So it was good.
Well, I'm so glad you went to that, and I'm glad you guys made it back safely. And so thanks for making time to be on this podcast, because Two Brothers, One Bible would not be Two Brothers if only one were here.
Good point. Yeah, I'm going to write that down.
Well,
that's a good nugget.
It's a nugget. All right, we're going to pick up where we left off on 1 John. We got all the way to verse 3. And verse 3 says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Mm.
So that is a powerful, we proclaim to you what we've seen and heard. So here again, like we mentioned in the last podcast, that John, not only was he an eyewitness, but he was actually there on the ice, as we talked about.
Yeah.
So he was actually involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a powerful verse, that the statement that he's making, that, I'm not looking at this from a far distance. I was with Jesus.
Right. Yep.
And he's proclaiming that to us.
I think that makes a real big difference. We can all say, I know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, how well do you know that person?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can get to know somebody through reading a biography and
right.
say, well, I know a lot about that person. You might know a bit more because it was an autobiography. They wrote it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But were you with that person? Did you travel with that person?
Did you see that event?
Did you live in the same house with that person? How well did you know that person? John is saying, I know this guy.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that he knows this guy, and we talked about, not being on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
One of the neat stories, when I was the postmaster at Mount Pleasant, I did a study on as many postmasters I could find that were at Mount Pleasant.
Okay.
There was a guy there, there was a postmaster there in the 1800s. His name was Thomas, I forgot his last name. Let's just say Estep, just for the sake of, I can't remember his last name, but his first name was Thomas.
Okay.
And he was postmaster in the 1800s at Mount Pleasant, and he was there the night of, in Ford Theater.
Really?
He was one of the people watching that play.
Huh.
When Abraham Lincoln got assassinated.
Wow.
He was actually there. He was actually a postmaster in Mount Pleasant.
How about that?
And so there is a difference in being there and being involved.
Right.
As you're pointing out. So I just thought that was a neat little story that I would share that I couldn't remember his last name. So that's a great story.
Oh, but people are looking it up even now.
Well, I don't know
Google
about that.
Google, postmaster in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee, named Thomas.
Named Thomas, who was at the assassination. But, that's amazing.
Yeah.
When you think of the 400 or 500 people, I don't know how many people were there, but he was one of them.
Yeah.
And he actually saw that. How could you would go around and you proclaim that to everybody you knew?
Oh, sure. you know, for some people, that becomes who they are the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. They go on the circuit telling that story. They go to churches or civic events, and they're, you know, let me tell you about, you know, that day. Mm-hmm. It totally redefines. That's what happened for John and for the other apostles. That described who they were. They couldn't be anything else other than, let me tell you about my encounter with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. That's exactly right.
Well, and as I say that, should not that be our testimony? Let me tell you about, there's nothing else that matters about me except from my encounter with Jesus.
That is, should be our focus.
Yeah.
It really should. And we're guilty of not doing that.
Yeah, well, so many other things take the front seat or mm-hmm. take priority, and we push Jesus to the back but, you know, John kept it abundantly clear that's who he is.
That's who he is, and that's what he was doing. And that's why he proclaimed it, what he had seen and what he'd heard there in verse 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we talked a little bit about fellowship on our last podcast, so I won't spend a lot of time with that. But he does go on to say that you also may have fellowship with us, sharing in the story that I'm telling you about Jesus.
Yeah, he uses fellowship two different ways. We get to fellowship with John mm-hmm. and other believers, and we get to fellowship with the Father himself.
Which is far better.
Yeah.
His cooking is unbelievable. No, I'm teasing. That was just a joke. But yeah, our fellowship with the Father and the Son is just amazing that, we've said this before, and I don't want to keep honing on this, but it's important that Jesus came down from glory to rescue us.
Yeah.
That whole salvation thing has the idea of rescue.
It does.
And it has the idea of deliverance. If I'm in the ocean and I'm caught in a riptide,
mm-hmm.
you know, I need to be rescued.
Right.
And that's basically what Jesus did for us
mm-hmm.
when he came down from glory.
For the purpose of us having fellowship with the Father.
Yeah.
You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, that was it. That fellowship was cut off. Those wonderful, sweet times of walking in the cool of the evening together was gone because of sin.
Yeah.
And sin became the cancer, the blockage that destroyed that fellowship, mm-hmm. sweet fellowship with the Father. And not until Jesus atoned for us, made that propitiation, which we'll get to in 1 John again.
Yeah, we'll get to
that. You know, that's what John's talking about here.
Okay, I love it. I love it. So let's see. And it also says, and our fellowship was with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And then we get to verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what verse 4 says. It says, we write this to make our joy complete.
Wow.
So when I think of complete joy.
Okay.
Complete joy. I mean, there is nothing outside of Jesus that gives me as such completeness as that.
Hmm.
I understanding what he's done for me, understanding where I'm going, as we mentioned in some of our other podcasts, that where Jesus is, I'm going to be with him also.
Yeah.
There's where your joy is. Mm. So that's in my opinion. And you can.
No, I think you're right on target. I was thinking about, you know, those times of complete joy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a long lasting joy, but there's certainly been moments, highlights in life, you know, standing at the wedding altar mm-hmm. with your bride to be. Certainly you could say that was just one of those filled joy moments, holding babies and grandbabies is certainly
right.
But, you know, our joy in Christ should be ongoing, continuous. And so what that is saying is even when life is difficult,
mm-hmm.
when you get the call, you need to come in, the doctor needs to talk to you. When you get the call, so-and-so has passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we get lots of bad days.
We do.
But, you know, that may destroy our happiness, but it shouldn't destroy our joy.
Yeah, those are two different things.
It really is.
We oftentimes confuse joy and happiness as interchangeable parts, right. And they're not.
No.
They're not interchangeable. Well, they're related.
They feel the same.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that joy, because, you know, as we talked about with our Mount Rushmore verses, your verses from Ephesians, mm-hmm. Chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, talk about how because of the seal of the Holy Spirit that's promised, it's a guarantee. So we've got that rock solid, so that can't be a joy stealer. So you may have dark days, cloudy days, dismal days, terrible, no good, rotten days.
Mm-hmm.
But in light of what God has for us in eternity, we still have that.
We still got that.
Yeah.
That's why it tickles me when I hear people say, Lord, come quickly.
No.
Yeah. That's fine with me.
Well, that's the seminarian prayer every time we had a test was, you know, because I didn't study well enough in my mind. So, like, if ever time for the rapture, Lord, it is now. Before I
go in here and take
embarrass
this test.
Myself completely on this test.
Oh, that's a great illustration. That's right. Oh my goodness,
it never happened.
It never did.
No, I had to face the shame.
Oh yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, let's see here. I was going to pull that right back up. So we write this to make our joy complete. There are some versions though that says it's.
It does. It says your joy.
Okay.
You know, which you know, and I think, you know, I looked at several commentaries before we started looking at these verses, and the majority said because of the context and the structure of it, it's he's writing these things not to make himself happy,
mm-hmm.
but he's doing this for the sake of others. And, you know, when you think about the arduous task of writing, you know, getting, you know, something to write on and keeping it and preserving it.
And, mm-hmm.
and so he's saying, you know, because of what we experience, the evidence of walking with Christ and because of the importance of you having understanding your fellowship now with God and with us, I'm going to take the time to write this letter.
Mm-hmm.
And because I want your joy to be complete.
And, you know, at this time when John is writing this, the church is probably being very persecuted.
Oh, terribly so.
Just persecuted everywhere they go. And so John had to remind them
mm-hmm.
that your joy is not complete in your circumstances.
Right.
Or complete in what you're facing in life or whatever. Your joy is complete in him, right. in Jesus.
Yeah.
So I'm writing this so that your joy will be complete, which I think is a great statement from John.
That's a great point, Robert, because you know this is where the tire hits the road.
Mm-hmm.
This is where, you know, we struggle as Christians because, you know, John's saying you could look at the persecution, you could look at the suffering, we could sit here and write a list of all the people we know who have died because mm-hmm. of the faith. But we're going to remain joyful because we have reason to celebrate beyond our circumstances.
And that's critical.
Yeah.
Is understanding that
mm-hmm.
because we can just get so caught up in this life as we know it.
Yeah.
We can get caught up in politics or you name the subject. We can get caught up in it, and it can rob us of our joy.
Yeah.
But our joy is found in him, and our complete joy is found knowing where we're going to be.
Oh, man.
So, you know, this is all temporary. Yeah. All this stuff here right now is all temporary.
Yeah.
So it does not, in the big scheme of things, it doesn't matter.
No. I mean, is there anything better than being around a joyful Christian? Don't they just kind of get you excited?
I think they do.
You know, they're grinning from ear to ear,
mm-hmm.
and they just, you know, they're just fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you got the opposite. You got these Christians that it's like they haven't heard the good news, or they don't think the news is good.
Right.
And, boy, it's really just a matter of your mindset.
It is. It totally is. And And I've been around, we've all been around, you know, happy Christians, Christians that aren't happy. If you're not happy in heaven, don't get near my cloud.
There you go. There you go. Don't rain on me. I thought you were going to mention a name, and I was ready to go. Beep. please, no names.
No. There will be no names on that. But that's not what this is about. But we have run out of time again.
Already,
and we just are just getting into 1 John, and that was a few verses, the first four verses out of 1 John. So I'm really going to enjoy this study.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. So please follow along with us, and please subscribe to the podcast. My name is Robert Wakefield.
I'm Peter Searson.
And we are Two Brothers, One Bible Podcast. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We just want to thank everyone for listening to today's podcast. We really do appreciate it. And Peter, we have a special announcement that we would like to make.
That's right, Robert. We want to invite everyone to come to New Song Praise Fest in Columbia, Tennessee on May the 4th. This is an all-day Christian music festival, and we would love for you to come and enjoy the day.
Oh, that's right. And Praise Fest has 5 acts coming this year, including Rhett Walker, and closing the night out will be the former lead singer of Third Day, Mac Powell.
Boy, sounds good. Well, consider this your personal invitation to be with us at New Song Praise Fest on Saturday, May the 4th.
And for tickets and all other information that you may need, visit newsongpraisefest.com.